Beyond presents Fragments. Old Christmas or Good Order? Good title. Make sure you have your Tudor Interlude bingo cards standing by for this episode. So, this is a reasonably chunky fragment from a play called Old Christmas or Good Order, coming to us from the printing press of William Rastall. Printed in 1533 in black letter to make it doubly harder to read, there are sadly only two leaves surviving, and one side of the last leaf is blank. To add to the complexity, though these three sides of printed text come at the end of the play, there is probably a page missing before the last page. Luckily, this seems to be almost completely irrelevant to the flow of the text, as whilst it is possible that there are as many as four pages of dialogue, it looks like it was mostly summing up, and that there was a lengthy sermon that didn't make it to us. Oh well. This is the close of the action, but what happened before this fragment begins? What have we lost? Previously in Old Christmas. As with many Tudor interludes, an ordered society is disrupted by vice-like figures who cast aside the good allegorical people and take up positions of power which they abuse. Luckily, the absent figures of authority return to cast out the vices and deliver a homily about how not to go too far in things. Which is where we join this play. So the play doesn't come with a title. The two we have are names of principal characters in the text. Though John Bale references a play called Good Order as being by John Skelton, so that fits well, though not many people think this text is particularly Skelton-y, and it's a fairly generic title. Both of the characters Good Order and Old Christmas represent important central ideas in the play. Christmas is old because this personification is of the revels following Christmas. In theory, the 12 days of Christmas were a period of increasing levels of festivity, ending with the final blowout on Twelfth Night. In practice, at the Tudor court and some institutions, revelling over Christmas could just keep going. And with a date of any time up to 1533, we're orbiting the court of Henry VIII. And so there's room for debate about how long the party should run for. Christmas in this play is old, i.e. this party has been running a while, and that has opened the door for the influence of gluttony and riot. Even today, eating too much at Christmas is still a thing. Riot is perhaps today more a New Year's thing. But if you're at the Tudor court, you might spend some time in January, February, March wondering, dude, can we stop now? In that respect, Old Christmas is potentially very different to our modern idea of Father Christmas. Putatively, he is placed here as a kind of king, though one whose reign is ending. He's let riot and gluttony take over, but luckily he has recalled the character of Good Order, who has turned up with a dustpan and brush, a clean suit, and an Alka-Seltzer to get the court back on the road. In that sense, this isn't a Christmas play at all. It's perhaps more properly set in the run-up to Lent, to say to the court or boys' school or university that it's time to think now on the other end of the story of Jesus, you know, start fasting and start being serious. You can have too much fun, people. So, with the return of Good Order, the fragment begins, and Old Christmas needs to decide what to do with these disruptive elements. We join, presumably, Old Christmas mid-sentence. It's possibly a bit of bluster from Old Christmas saying, well, yes, you were out of town, Good Order, but I saw through these vices all along. Yeah, sure you did.
Sith you went, have they exercised. Yet was I never thus beguiled.
Old Christmas, played here by Leakey Chapel. Good Order, played by Hayden McCabe, then lists some of the other bad people who've run amok.
Oh, sir, there hath been here an unthrifty company. Here was hazarder, here was perjury, and cracks and swearing abominably. and as soon as I came, they did me defy. If I had not fled, I had been slain.
So at some point there were four vices, hazardor and perjury, as well as riot and gluttony, unless they shared names. There is no sign of these two in this fragment, but they might be dealt with in the missing pages, though more likely is that they can't come on stage because they doubled with some of the people currently on stage, if we assume a company of 4 to 6 players. Good Order's speech gives us some other clues as to the action earlier in the play. Let's just hear him do that bit again.
Oh, sir, there hath been here an unthrifty company. Here was hazardor, here was perjury, and cracks and swearing abominably. And as soon as I came, they did me defy. If I had not fled, I had been slain.
So, not only did hazardor and perjury swear and do bants, a surefire sign of badness, but also they defied good order to the point where he had to flee to save his life. There is a parallel here with other plays, where the figure of verity, truth, is forced into a pit and put out of the way. In this series of fragments, we have this action in the fragment of Somebody and Others, otherwise known as the spoiling of Lady Verity. Truth and good order are no exact matches, but they are allies. So this action of the play temporarily driving out the good is something of a cliché, even in the 1530s. It's a little slippery from this fragment as to how to present Old Christmas. Was he about as good order was driven out? Is he our identification figure like an everyman? Or is he more like the figure of the statesman, as in Magnificence or Respublica? The figure who is both the state and the head of state rolled into one. Anyway, we're only 7 lines in, so let's crack on. Old Christmas is keen to get rid of these vices, who he calls rebels. Riot pleads for forgiveness.
But this case to me is more fain that these rebels be thus take than a bushel of gold were given for my sake.
Now, good sir, forgive me once now, and I will never more offend.
I'll be good, sir, promise, says Riot, played here by Simon Nader. Gluttony, played by Valentina Vinci, shows that there is no honour among vices, and throws Riot under the bus. Those playing along on the Tudor interlude bingo card stamp away.
Ah, nay, do not so, sir, God defend, for I make to God a vow, the knave will never amend.
Never amend? Why?
For sith that he was a child young, he hath be ever brought up among rioters and unthrifty company. He cannot live it if he should die.
Vice characters, and I'm throwing that term about a lot, but the word has been coined by now and it fits perfectly well. Vice characters are always attacking each other, but this kind of attack, publicly attacking your confederate, is quite striking here. Riot gives as good as he gets. I'm bad, what about you?
Thou liest, or sun in thy head, thou hast used so much gluttony, eating and drinking abominably. Thou canst not leave it to lose thy head, and thou, or sun, broughtest me first to this perplexity.
I do like this note. It was you who led me into this life of sin. And then a marvellous bit of tit for tat. If you gun for me, take him out too.
Therefore, sir, I pray you one thing do. If I be hanged, let him be hanged too.
Old Christmas shows this behaviour off to the assembled court/audience. Look, they show us how bad they are.
Oh, marvellous! Good sirs, behold, they cannot amend themselves if they would, you may see by their own confession. Oh, what it is a man to accustom himself to riot and unthriftiness, or in youth to be brought up in lewdness. For an evil custom much used will be right hard to be refused. For what thing a child in youth doth exercise, lightly in age he loveth the same guise, and that hath made you, sirs, ye your customs old, ye cannot forsake them if that you would. But I promise you, ere I depart hence, ye shall be corrected for your offence.
Amidst this iterating of the moral of the play, fun is fine, but we must all grow up sometime, there is a little hint at old Christmas as a transitory figure. Ere I depart hence, suggests that this figure old Christmas might literally be dying, as Christmas is figuratively ending. It might also just mean, before I go into another room to do something else. There's a little niggle of the ghost of Christmas present here, of someone coming to his end as you watch. Anyway, time for
justice.
Good Order, what do we do with these guys? Good Order's response is missing the opening line.
Therefore, Good Order, show thy best reason what were for them convenient reason.
Wherefore I would not have them to die, neither to prison perpetually within this your realm, for ye know well, yet might they give unhappy counsel to such manner people as will come them to visit while they were in prison.
Now, there's an interesting thing. Well, we can't send them to prison, as they'll just teach the other prisoners how to be better criminals. This idea of prison as a university of crime starts early, and is more surprising as the late medieval and early modern justice system isn't really into long-term imprisonment. Most prisoners are remanded in custody till trial, where, if they've survived the process, they are either found innocent, fined, shamed, or killed. Or a combination of the above. That isn't to say it isn't done, it's just not really a thing as we understand prisons today. Anyway, there is another option, which sets us on a completely different rabbit hole.
Therefore my mind, if you understand, is for to banish them out of your land on this pain, that, if they come again, without ransom or grace, to be slain.
Banishment. Now, by and large, banishment stopped being a thing once modern states came into existence, either because the governments of the above said they didn't want criminals, or because the various countries that had been used as prisoner dumping grounds told other countries to get stuffed. That isn't to say it has stopped. At time of recording, the UK government is still fairly desperately trying to deport people, and not necessarily convicted criminals either. There are many places around the world where asylum seekers and economic migrants are dumped and treated as a problem that can be forgotten about. And within the alleged criminal sphere, Guantanamo Bay still exists for political prisoners of the post-9/11 wars. I suspect many of us have forgotten that it's still there. Anyway, these disorderly elements are to be banished. Old Christmas is delighted with this idea, though he leaves Good Order to do the paperwork.
Good Order, with all my heart I thank thee. Now after thy counsel, so shall it be. Proclaim their banishment openly for them and all their other company. Let's see how well thou canst order it. The order thereof to thee I commit.
Then, sirs, take heed to your judgment. My master Christmas, as here present, proclaimeth you traitors openly. That is to say, riot and gluttony, unthrifty hazarder and perjury, commanding you shortly every one, in all haste, to void this region. And whosoever returneth again, without any grace he shall be slain. This is my master's commandment, doubtless. And Jesu'll preserve his noble highness.
Good Order, delivering justice. Again, are hazarder and perjury present? They are addressed, or again, is he addressing them with two names? Dealer's choice, I suppose. What would you do? Verdict delivered, riot tries an appeal for mercy. Not to Good Order, but to Old Christmas, who they presumably had some good times with earlier.
Yet, yeah, Master Christmas, one drop of your grace!
No more words. Get you hence in haste, for your judgment is given and passed.
Is given and passed. To rhyme with haste, so paste. But also follow grace. It's not very satisfying, really. I'm not quite sure what the rhyme scheme is doing there, anyway. Anyway, riot turns to his compatriot, and we hit the next rabbit hole in their banishment.
Alas, Gluttony, what shall we then do?
In faith, to the Newfoundland let us go, for in England there is no remedy.
So, off to the Newfoundland. Now, this term is first found around 1509, apparently. It's a general term at this point for any of the Americas, rather than the more specific name used today. And then we have our first, I think, reference to lands further west, and these early ideas of using an hypothetically empty place to dump undesirables. Of course, the Americas aren't empty, and this idea will contribute to all kinds of colonial enterprises further down the line. But anyway, off to the west you go.
Then, sirs, look ye be gone shortly. Hold! Take each of you a cross in his hand. In token you shall be banished England, and to some haven town get you anon. And at the next passage, look ye be gone.
Off to the nearest port. And here's another nice point. The banished men are expected to pay for their own deportation, and if they don't have the money, they can beg.
Oh, sir, yet give us some spending money.
Not so. If you lack, then beg by the way.
Now, sirs, all good fellows, farewell.
And I bequeath you to the devil of hell.
And with that insult over Gluttony's shoulder, they exit. And old Christmas thanks good order for a job well done.
Good order, this thing is well ordered. Thou art greatly to be commended.
And here's where there is a gap in the text with a probable missing page or so. But we return with a roundup of things you should think about after Christmas is over. Don't overindulge. We don't know who is speaking here, but I decided to align it with old Christmas's last two lines. But it could be good order giving the final lesson.
One, if thou feed thyself too greedily. Another, to eat or to drink beyond measure. Or if thou despoil thy meat inordinately, or if thou apparel thy meat too curiously with sauce, or if thou delight thyself in dainties, all these of gluttony be very branches.
And then the speaker moves into more formal calling on Jesus, and giving his fasting as part of his good example.
Jesu, God's Son, the great Master of Truth, from the high throne when he descended for our redemption and walked on earth, 40 days and nights, no doubt he fasted, neither meat nor drink that while he tasted. This example proveth this sentence true, that abstinence is a wonderful virtue.
Abstinence. Stop having fun. Fun. Bad. And then we close the play with a new, to us at least, character of prayer, who extols the importance of, well, yes, you've guessed it, prayer.
That is true and spoken marvellous well. But yet, sovereigns all, I pray you take heed to me, prayer, and to my good counsel. For he that with me is usually acquainted with God is conversant, this is undoubted. For of prayer, vera definitio est nisi in deum mentis elevatio. So prayer is but the elevation of man's inward minds to God on high, and to remember, by way of contemplation, his great goodness, nobleness, and power mighty, and the vanities and vices which we use daily, and his great mercy, therefore, to require. This is the true prayer that God doth desire. For that which men call the vocal prayer, as the uttering of words, though it be regarded much before God, yet everywhere to this intent and purpose it is used, to cause men's inward minds to be moved to celestial things, that his mind and thought from worldly vanities thereby may be brought. And thou man, which to contemplation has brought thy mind by such prayer vocal, and to God fixed it by such meditation, then art thou come to the thing principal, as the mental prayer, which thing above all is chiefly desired of God alway. And this, wise good people, this Lent time should pray, and all ye sirs that now will take regard to this exhortation, know ye shall in the celeste.
And that's it from my walkthrough of this fragment. If you want to go further and hear how we got here, our earlier exploring sessions are available online. There are links in the show description. But for now, once again, sit back and enjoy a fully developed audio recording of this fragment of Old Christmas or Good Order, with a Leaky Chapel as Old Christmas, Hayden McCabe as Good Order, Simon Nader as Riot, Valentina Vinci as Gluttony, and Fiona Thrail as Prayer.
Sith you went, have they exercised, yet was I never thus beguiled.
Oh, sir, there hath been here an unthrifty company. Here was hazarder, here was perjury, and cracks and swearing abominably. And as soon as I came, they did me defy. If I had not fled, I had been slain.
But this case to me is more fain, that these rebels be thus take, than a bushel of gold were given for my sake.
Now, good sir, forgive me once now, and I will never more offend.
Nay, do not so, sir, God defend. For I make to God a vow, the knave will never amend.
Never amend? Why?
For sith that he was a child young, he hath be ever brought up among rioters and unthrifty company.
Oh.
He cannot live it if he should die.
Thou liest, or son, in thy head thou hast used so much gluttony, eating and drinking abominably. Thou canst not leave it to lose thy head. And thou, or son, broughtest me first to this perplexity.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, sir, I pray you one thing do. If I be hanged, let him be hanged too.
Oh, marvellous. Good sirs, behold, they cannot amend themselves if they would, you may see by their own confession. Oh, what it is a man to accustom himself to riot and unthriftiness, or in youth to be brought up in lewdness. For an evil custom much used will be right hard to be refused. For what thing a child in youth doth exercise, lightly in age he loveth the same guise, and that hath made you, sirs, ye your customs hold. Ye cannot forsake them if that you would. But I promise you, ere I depart hence, ye shall be corrected for your offence. Therefore, good order, show thy best reason what were for them convenient reason.
Wherefore I would not have them to die, neither to prison perpetually within this your realm, for ye know well, yet might they give unhappy counsel to such manner people as will come them to visit while they were in prison. Therefore my mind, if you understand, is for to banish them out of your land on this pain, that, if they come again, without ransom or grace, to be slain.
Good order, with all my heart I thank thee. Now after thy counsel, so shall it be. Proclaim their banishment openly for them and all their other company. Let's see how well thou canst order it. The order thereof to thee I commit.
Then, sirs, take heed to your judgment. My master Christmas, as here present, proclaimeth you traitors openly.
Traitors?
That is to say, riot and gluttony,
oh,
unthrifty hazarder and perjury, commanding you shortly every one, in all haste to void this region. And whosoever returneth again, without any grace he shall be slain. This is my master's commandment, doubtless. And Jesu preserve his noble highness.
Yet, Master Christmas, one drop of your grace!
No more words. Get you hence in haste, for your judgment is given and passed.
Alas, Gluttony, what shall we then do?
In faith, to the Newfoundland let us go, for in England there is no remedy.
Then, sirs, look ye be gone shortly. Hold! Take each of you a cross in his hand. In token you shall be banished England, and to some haven town get you anon, and at the next passage look ye be gone.
Oh, sir, yet give us some spending money.
Not so. If you lack, then beg by the way.
Oh,
now, sirs! All good fellows! Farewell.
And I bequeath you to the devil of hell.
Good order, this thing is well ordered. Thou art lately to be commended. For one, if thou feed thyself too greedily, another to eat or to drink beyond measure, or if thou despoil thy meat inordinately, or if thou apparel thy meat too curiously with sauce, or if thou delight thyself in dainties, all these of gluttony be very branches. Jesu, God's Son, the great Master of Truth, from the high throne when he descended for our redemption and walked on earth, 40 days and nights no doubt he fasted, neither meat nor drink that while he tasted. This example proveth this sentence true, that abstinence is a wonderful virtue.
That is true and spoken marvellous well. But yet, sovereigns all, I pray you take heed to me prayer and to my good counsel. For he that with me is usually acquainted with God is conversant, this is undoubted. For of prayer, vera definitio est nisi in deum mentis elevatio. So prayer is but the elevation of man's inward minds to God on high, and to remember, by way of contemplation, his great goodness, nobleness, and power mighty, and the vanities and vices which we use daily, and his great mercy, therefore, to require. This is the true prayer that God doth desire. For that which men call the vocal prayer, as the uttering of words, though it be regarded much before God, yet everywhere to this intent and purpose it is used, to cause men's inward minds to be moved to celestial things, that his mind and thought from worldly vanities thereby may be brought. And thou man, which to contemplation has brought thy mind by such prayer vocal, and to God fixed it by such meditation, then art thou come to the thing principal, as the mental prayer, which thing above all is chiefly desired of God alway. And this, wise good people, this Lent time should pray, and all ye sirs that now will take regard to this exhortation, know ye shall in the celeste.
In Old Christmas or Good Order by The Unknown. Old Christmas was played by Aliki Chapel. Good Order by Hayden McCabe. Riot by Simon Nader. Gluttony by Valentina Vinci. And Prayer by Fiona Thrale. Fragments is hosted and produced by Robert Crichton for the Beyond podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, why not buy us a coffee on ko-fi.com? Or become a patron and get early access and bonus material. Our patrons get to choose the plays we work on next. Go to patreon.com/beyondshakespeare. Links in the show description. Goodbye.